Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show.
Hello.
This week, we will review The Devil's Candy. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts. And after, we'll do a deeper spoiler analysis. But first, what have you been watching this week?
Oh, nothing. Let's see. I rewatched This Is Spinal Tap for like the billionth time.
Yeah.
Which I find hilarious that sometimes I rewatch movies on the internet when I'm like, I have the DVD right there, but that's like a whole fucking thing. You know, I got to like fire up the PS4 and then yeah. Play video games instead of watching a movie. You know, I'm like, I don't know.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, it's great. Every time I watch that movie, I feel like I understand where like certain contemporary jokes come from.
Okay. Like.
What? There's a joke about the drummers keep getting replaced, I think. I think this is what it's tied to, I mean. And they basically say, what'd he die of? Like, oh, you know, the doctor, like whoever said, like, it doesn't even matter. Like, don't even worry about it. He's just gone, you know? And that was like a joke in one of my favorite shows, I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson.
Uh-huh.
I think I've told you to watch, right? But have you been able to catch it yet?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Oh, it's great. That, the Detroiters.
That's on Netflix, right?
I Think You Should Leave is on Netflix. And then okay. Detroiters, I think you can catch on CBS. Or
CBS All Access or
CBS because I canceled my Comedy Central subscription. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, really bummed me out. So unless, I don't know, if Comedy Central, if you want to sponsor us, please, for the love of God, please sponsor us. So I had to cancel that, but luckily it's on CBS All Access, which I forgot I still have.
Oh, okay.
The
cool.
Only reason it's available to me.
Yeah,
CBS All Access, which I got for Twilight Zone, which is okay.
Oh yeah, yeah. I had CBS All Access, and I never checked out Twilight Zone. That was like from the thing I wanted to do, but I canceled it after.
Oh,
I was like
after you watch all of Picard.
I mean, the old episodes of Cheers.
Yeah,
well, not even watch Picard. I just watched Cheers, like a couple episodes of Cheers. Got it. I wanted to watch. I was making a commitment to watch Star Trek, the new one.
Oh yeah, yeah. What's his name? Doug Jones? Doug?
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Doug Jones. You're like one of my favorite people. That guy. Yeah. I think the guy that plays Spock. I haven't seen the show, but I think the guy that plays Spock is actually like one of my friends, like childhood to present day friends. Just like odd. I'm like, dude. So my friend Andrew Patrick is born and raised like Hollywood. And he doesn't talk about it. I just think, you know, you move here and then you find the unicorns, the people that are like from here. Which I feel like 80% of the time they're not in the industry. But then the other 20% of the time they don't talk about it. They're in the industry. But they have like a different mentality of the whole thing. So like he casually says that, like I'll be like, oh, the new Star Trek show. He's like, oh shit, yeah, I forgot my friend's in that. I'm like, oh yeah, who does he play? He's like, he plays a Spock. I'm like, oh shit, that's like a big deal, dude.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, you meet a lot of people like that
yeah,
are related or know, or yeah,
like they're
like, oh my god, you know this person.
Yeah. I think they're fun to talk to because it's only like, you know, folks like us that move here that really geek out and want to talk about it all the time. And they just don't care.
Yeah.
Born and raised here.
Right. We make podcasts about it. No, I'm just kidding.
Andy Patrick, I know you're not listening, but you wanna?
The statistics tell, No, I don't think he's listening to it.
Unless Andy Patrick moved to South Texas or Australia.
Australia.
Hey, which Aussie folk, we're doing two movies with an Australian writer-director, right? Yep.
The Native Son, yeah. Sean Byrne.
Sean Byrne. Right, Sean Byrne.
Sean Byrne, okay, cool. I feel like I said it too fast, like I was confident, but then I got really unconfident it wasn't his name.
Sean Byrne is such a... like a Midwestern name also, or like Northern California.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Too.
It's totally. Like such a, I feel like I know a lot of Burns.
Yeah.
They're all good people, though, so that's something.
Cool. Anything else?
Well, I have not seen the latest episode of WandaVision, but I can speculate that it was pretty good.
Okay, Wally. Spoilers.
Each episode has been consistently getting better.
That's the truth. Yeah.
What a cool way to, like, you know, politely tell Alan Taylor Johnson, right? Is that his name? That he was not a fan favorite, you know? Not his fault.
Yeah.
He's just in, you know, arguably one of the worst Avengers movies. I felt like James Spader was like one of the best parts of that movie, and even his character wasn't that great. They took a lot of liberties.
It was just like a kind of a mess. It was all over the place. You know, as a follow-up to the first movie. It was kind of a mess.
I don't know if I should say what I meant by that. I don't know if things. But I guess by the time this episode comes out, if people haven't seen that, they don't care to watch the show, right? So I might be safe.
Yeah.
Because we're recording this in the past.
In the future.
Into the future, yeah. In fact, me talking about this, the people that listen to this are going to be like, oh, shit, he's like way behind.
Yeah, there's going to be some corner of the internet. It's going to be... screaming at you about something you did or said. So
the Alan Taylor Johnsonites, the Tay Tay Johnsons. I don't know what they're called.
Yeah, I don't even know. What was the last thing he was in? I know it's totally off topic. We're bringing the show in a different direction, but
Kick Ass. No, I'm just kidding. I feel like he pops up a lot. He's just
hasn't been confusing him. With the guy that did Rocket Man, but that's not him. I want to say it's him, but it's not him. It's the other guy. Because I was about to say, like, Rocket Man, but that he wasn't in that.
No, that's the calling him Alan Taylor Johnson. So his name is Aaron Taylor Johnson. Sorry, Tay Tay Johnson.
I didn't mean
to upset your group. I forgot about his less known brother, Alan. Who's very good. No, I'm just kidding. He was in Tenet.
Yeah. I didn't see it. So
yeah, I mean, I have no intention to see it anytime soon.
Yeah, it's pretty skippable, I'm hearing. So.
No, but...
well, if...
what's up?
I was going to say, if... he does have three names, so he could always be a serial killer or like a...
oh, that's true. Good for him. And he's English, right?
Yeah.
Oh man, Christopher Nolan.
No, that's a mean thing to say. Yeah.
Christopher Nolan and his he really, really wants you to know his movies are badass. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that his shtick now?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'll watch it eventually.
Cool. Anything else?
No, I think we should dive into the devil's candy, which is not butterscotch.
I could or I could tell you what I've been watching.
Oh,
or
yeah, yeah, reading, let's do that.
Because I haven't been watching anything either. So, but I've just been reading a lot.
This is the John Show. Just kidding. And here's Johnny, me. No, what? Yeah. Good.
I have a subscription to, what is it? DC Universe Infinity, which is like comics. So,
oh, nice.
I finally all in. I started reading an old run of Aquaman, which is really good. I wanted to read it because Patrick Gleason does the art on it, and he's fucking fantastic artist. And it's kind of funny because it's like it's the dark, gritty reboot version of Aquaman.
Oh.
Like he doesn't have any hand,
right?
And he's incredibly self-righteous. Yeah. Well, this one's made out of water, and then there's a lot of it's like dark and gritty, I guess. Like it's like this part of the story is like half of San Diego goes underwater, and then it starts with Aquaman like emerging from the water and saying like they're all dead. So it's like, yeah, it's so gritty, and then. You end up, he's like a boy, towards the end of the first issue, the boy emerges and he's like running, like trying to, scared for his life out of the water. And then he like collapses and I guess the police pick him up and Aquaman shows up and then the boy dies. And then it's said that the boy died of, he couldn't breathe. So because he has gills, so he became like a fish or something. So.
That's sort of like the first beat of it.
It's pretty good.
Though?
I've never read it before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he just had gills like on his throat or something.
Interesting.
Yeah. Pretty good. It was okay.
So he's got a water hand. I have a question about that. Did they ever show him like when he's like, oh, I need to wash my hands? Does he just put dirt on the water hand? How does that work?
No, I don't know. He calls over a dolphin to lick him. I don't know. No idea. And there's a dolphin that dies also in the issue. And I'm like, dude, this is so gritty. So twisted. Yeah.
God, it's kind of like a...
Yeah.
Is he actually the deep in The Boys? Did he try to save a dolphin and then run his...
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Right? He's like running from the police.
Yeah.
And then he like crashes or stops really hard and the dolphin's not... Doesn't have a seatbelt on, obviously, and flies through the front window and squishes in the ground.
Yeah.
God, that show is awesome.
It was. Yeah, it is. It is. Let's dig into our review of The Devil's Candy. So, John, give us the plot.
Okay, The Devil's Candy, which is also not peppermint candies. It's actually not hard candies at all. In fact, there's no candy in this fucking film whatsoever, but...
Some hot tamales.
Hot tamales. the devil's candy. Lucas. let's see. I got a few of them.
Okay. Hit me.
So the one I think I'll officially go with is Metalhead Family Gets Amityville'd. But my first runner-up was Ethan Embry Wears a Wig.
Ethan Embry wears a wig.
I mean, it looked cool, but like, I mean, even people that have their hair that short don't wear it like that all the time. You know, like,
look good.
Like, people don't wear their hair like they just came out of a television set because they're in the ring.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Metalhead Family Gets Amityville. I think that's like pretty straightforward.
Okay, so what's your first thoughts?
It was okay. It was fine. It was like halfway through the movie, it became very apparent to me that this is super low budget. You know, very much like an indie effort. So I had to look it up real quick. I've been trying not to go on IMDb while I'm watching the movie, or even before. And then confirmed the crew was super small. So then I know this is probably isn't like a fair assessment, but then I try to like just keep watching it with that in mind.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna say the same thing. I wasn't crazy about the movie. I think I mixed more than anything. There's things I liked about it. Like, I like a lot of the performances of the movie. I thought were really good. The general sense of emotion that he pulled from it, you know? But as a... I feel like the movie aims for, like... let's see. It aims to, like... It's more about, like, the tension and the suspense and the emotion of it. Not really, like, about dialogue or, like... story or plot. The plot is pretty straightforward.
Like, there isn't a whole lot of time. There's no guest time, really. They pretty much tell you almost right away, hey, these are the protagonists, this is the antagonist. In fact, this one, the cold open, you meet the bad guy right away. Which I gotta say, we're gonna review another movie by Sean Byrne, right? Which should come out. We're probably going to record it after this one, so if I do my time line right, it will come out tomorrow, and then this episode will come out a long time after.
5 weeks. Yeah, we're ahead. You know,
how our sausage is made.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is how our sausage is made around. We're 5 weeks ahead. Sometimes we sneak in a bonus episode. A holiday bonus episode, a very special holiday bonus episode.
Which is 60% guaranteed to have a different theme song.
Yeah. It's true. It's true.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
so the real highlight of this movie for me was it Pruden Taylor Vance? Amazing actor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Poor dude. I mean, he doesn't have to keep getting these roles, but he's very good at them.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's a fabulous actor. He kind of plays the antagonist. Yeah.
I did read a bit of trivia on why he chose to do this film. He actually passed on it because he was getting, like, offer after offer to play the same exact guy. And he can't, he doesn't want to do that for his whole career, you know, that sucks. But then the director sent him, like, a really, like, well-written, long, like, email or something explaining why he would be perfect for the movie, I think.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, he can play this role in his sleep, at this point. Though I will say, like, the red tracksuit did not invoke any sort of terror in me.
That was also, I'm talking it up to, like, just being low budget, but it was, in the trivia also, the director said it's supposed to represent the devil, but with the white line, like, a child trapped inside, which I didn't catch from the film. I didn't catch that he was like a kid trapped inside this thing. I understood he had some sort of arrested development, but I didn't think he was like...
Yeah. Yeah. Same. I think all the actors are game and everyone is doing a really good job. Like Ethan Embry, Sheree Appleby, Bruin Taylor Vance, even the young actress,
Kiara Glasgow, right?
Who I don't have her. Yeah. Kiara Glasgow. Like everyone is like, you can tell everyone's just like, They're doing it. They're playing it, man. Up.
Also,
I was gonna say, go ahead.
Tony Amendola.
Yeah, I thought it was F. Murray Abraham. Yeah.
Chef's kiss.
What did you think that?
No, because I like watching him. And he, like, every time he pops up, I'm like, hell yeah.
But I don't know how necessary it was. That was like the thing. It's like, I feel like I wasn't sure what they were terrified of completely. Everything was kind of interpretive.
Until it was like
the last part of it.
Painfully obvious, right? Yeah. Right when he pops out with, I guess that's going to spoilers. We'll talk about that in a sec.
When
he pops out with the guitar and the amp.
I also wanted to ask you, on a scale, how much of Ethan Embry looks like Matthew McConaughey? Because to me, I was like, dude, this guy looks exact, because he's like long haired, tattooed, super like skinny but buff, like ripped. Fit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he plays a painter into metal, right? Or something. So,
yeah. Or like the whole family are a bunch of metalheads, I guess. And then, yeah, he's an artist. I don't know. There's not a whole lot of explanation. They're just like, hey, he's an artist, and then I guess he's doing well enough
to buy a house with
and then I like that you start off seeing him working on a commission for a bank, and it's just like a bunch of butterflies.
Yeah,
And I was like, dude, this painting sucks. Yeah. But then when it gets all dark, obviously those paintings are like, holy shit.
It's definitely
shit,
a movie
cool.
that tries to build a lot of like tension and atmosphere, and like with the music and the sounds and everything, like it definitely tries to like create tension throughout. And it kind of reminded me of like The Witch. Did you kind of get that vibe? Because
a little bit, yeah. But I will say this happens way faster than The Witch.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, The Witch is way slower paced than this movie.
Not in love with The Witch.
Yeah, same. I wasn't crazy about it either.
Yeah, but I did like when the third act hits, man, it is like tension build the entire fucking time. Mm-hmm. And I really, mm-hmm. like, really dug like that last act.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
That's why I thought the movie was like, it was okay. If the third act wasn't that good, I think I would have said the movie was bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, we should also talk about Tony's role in this. Because, yeah, I didn't understand. I felt like it was unnecessary, but then I had a theory on it. On why it was included in the film.
Okay.
But then they kind of do that in the next Sean Byrne movie we're going to... Or the one you're going to hear before this one. he does a similar sort of thing where like there's like an extended storyline that seems to have nothing to do. I don't know. Maybe that's just his style of writing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But we'll get into it. Also, Sun-O wrote most of the score for this movie, which I thought was fucking cool.
Who's that?
I'm like, Sun-O is for non fans of the band, because either you're a fan or not. It's one of those bands. Mm-hmm. Like, really obscure, but super legendary doom metal band. Like, mm-hmm. super legendary.
Yeah, yeah. That's throughout the soundtrack is through, like, throughout the
movie. Yeah, and he actually wears a t-shirt from the band at one point.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Which I was like, oh, shit, this guy's wearing a Sun-O shirt. And then it started getting me into, like, so either this character is, like, super into, like, obscure metal, or this director just loves music, and I decided the director just loves music.
Yeah, watching this movie and his first movie back to back, music always plays like an important part to the story, to the character, to like character build and everything. So,
very cool. Yeah, dug it. So, should we get into spoilers for this film?
Yeah, let's dive in.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, cover your children's ears so they don't get spoiled. So we start off with Mr. I can move my eyes really fast, right?
Yeah.
Which he only does once in this movie, by the way. I checked. Mm-hmm. Or I could be wrong. I'm probably wrong.
Well, isn't it a condition that he has?
Yeah, it's a condition that
he
has.
Like, he can't control it, right? Like, he's just like a...
No, or yeah, I think he has some sort of control over it, but then if he's not focused on it...
Oh, he just lets it go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just, wah, wah. I don't know why I gave him dubstep for his eye movement. Wah, 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 wah. That's not nice. just the first thing that came to mind. Sorry. I really enjoy this actor. If you guys haven't seen Identity, I highly recommend it. Yeah, what? He's, like, playing this, like, same chord over and over again really loud in the middle of the night, and mm-hmm. just has, like, his amp distortion, or, like, his gain up to, like, 10, I guess, and the volume up to 10, so that's probably why everybody was pissed, because that's the only way you can get an aggressive tone out of it like that, mm-hmm. unless the director has something to tell us, and they were using pedals, because... I have a lot of questions about this. I play guitar myself and I had questions.
And I have no answers. I'm not a musically inclined person at all. So.
Like, Mr. Sean Byrne, explain to me, you cannot tell me that was an actual Gibson Flying V. I understand copyright stuff, but you said it was in the film, and that was definitely a parts guitar that you could smash later. Still very cool that they built it, but... And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I wanted to say about this film. Signing off. Good night. Godspeed and God bless. No, I'm just kidding. His mom, right? His mom tells him to shut the music off.
And then he hears like a voice or something, right? And then
a voice that sounded very like something out of, again, like metal music. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would associate it with like chanting or whatnot. It sounded more like just something somebody did to be scary in a song.
So what did you think?
I don't know.
So he hears voices, and then the husband, also Ethan Embry's character, hears voices, Jesse. So do you think it was his sort of, I don't know, some sort of condition he had, or was, do you think it was like something supernatural?
I'm inclined to believe it's something supernatural. And that's why I was going to bring up the curator's part, which seems like unnecessary to the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the art gallery is called Belial Art Gallery, which is supposed to be a reference to like, not like the main devil, but a sort of devil that, what is it, convinces you to do things by preying on your desires, something like that.
So I'm
under the impression that the art gallery was not a real art gallery, considering that the curator's like assistant was dressed in all red, red eyeshadow,
right?
Like red socks, mm-hmm. red gloves, red, you know. I'm thinking that they were trying to recruit a new dude to start killing, but mm-hmm. Ethan Embry was able to like get past that, because his family was more important to him.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think
there's not a whole lot of explanation.
No, it's just kind of there. It's like one scene and he's out, pretty, right?
I mean,
like,
I guess the art dealer ends up going to his house later, right? They have a meeting,
mm-hmm.
and he tries to convince him to have a drink with him. Like, he really mm-hmm. tries to convince yeah. him.
Yeah, I think the one of the things about the movie that I thought was interesting, like the horror aspects of this movie, is like it's a movie that could be interpreted about like bad parenting.
Yeah.
Outside of like the supernatural side of it, I feel like the bigger emotional stuff was this sort of struggle between the dad dealing with his artistic side and dealing with like his family, his commitment to his family. Right. Or to his daughter, who looks up to him. You know what I mean? They dress the same. They headbang to metal. So it's like this sort of push-pull of like him disappointing her and him wanting to like build his career, build a life, you know, with his art, with his
right.
painting career.
Which I guess like he's what put under the gun because they bought the house that guy killed his mom in,
mm-hmm.
But what they didn't mention was that the guy was out on the lam, so I don't understand why the house was up for rent.
Yeah, he just it was very unclear about why he didn't own the house, why he was free, why he rented a motel, and
how
he was allowed.
They quickly flipped the house. That's what it feels like. Like super
right,
quick.
Even though they said it was on the market. It was on the market for a while. I think they mentioned it.
But again, there's a lot of things that don't have like a lot of explanation. I kind of wish there was more explanation as to what the mom did for a living or what her whole deal was, because I had a tough time. Like every time Ethan Embry like fucked up and didn't pick up his daughter from school or whatever, I was just like, where is she? Or does she have like a late job? Or what's the deal? Because
it was all put on him.
she's around.
No, I think to kind of interpret, I think it's just saying that she had a serious job, like a 9-to-5. She probably made more money. His commissions was starting to pick up. You know, they had mentioned like he was going to get paid out pretty well, and the mural he was doing for the bank and stuff like that. So, and they were. Early on, I think in the movie, they were talking about like bills and stuff. Like, if we do this bill, do that bill, we'll be able to afford the mortgage and stuff like that. So, just leads me to believe she was the one that kind of made the most money and his schedule was more flexible.
I mean, that makes more sense. Like, she would have to have a real job, I think, right? Because they didn't say he was like super established. So he made that painting, that shitty painting with the butterflies. And then what happens? He moves into a house, and then he paints children over these wings. And at first I was like, oh, these kids are screaming because these wings are sprouting out their back.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
I don't know. This movie was like, it wasn't very long. It was a little slow.
Mm-hmm.
And then it picked up a lot, but then again, it wasn't like enough for me to be like, oh, what a great movie.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, yeah, forgive me if like I have a hard time remembering certain aspects of the
film. Yeah, I just felt a lot of the mechanics of the plot was like half measures. Like,
yeah. Yeah, like
a little bit of this, a little bit of that. There was nothing like fully developed. I kind of felt like he focused more on like the mood and the tension of the movie to kind of, he wanted you to like feel something kind of like Mandy. Does that kind of make sense? Or like,
yeah,
it's about like, you know, very loop plot, you know, loose on the plot, but kind of like all these sensationalized things are happening, going on with the family. Very like Amityville Horror.
Yeah.
With the father being slowly possessed.
Yeah, but Ethan Embry is no Nicolas Cage taking on...
Or Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, he's Matthew McConaughey. Yeah, he does very much look like that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much... Like, if you're going to ask me to recommend this movie, I don't think I can. because I don't know. A little too. It was okay.
Yeah, it was okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Cool. Did you wanna have any last thoughts then?
I don't know. I feel like. I feel bad saying this because I really wanted to be into it. I feel like the soundtrack was fun, but did not fit the movie very well. Because for me, the whole family, because even the mom, I guess, was supposed to be a metalhead too, but the only time you see her, she's always in work clothes, so you never get that unless you look at the photos on the wall. I just feel like I wasn't believing it. But I mean, if you get legendary fucking Sunno to do the soundtrack, I guess go with it.
I'd say the movie, I think the movie feels very very cold and inviting, and it's interpretive and focuses on emotion rather than the dialogue, and it's kind of mixed. The plot is just so simplistic, you know what I mean? Like, to kind of, I feel like what he tried to do was build on other things to kind of offset it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because
it's a so-so thing. It's a so-so job. Yeah.
I will say, if you're someone who likes like, if you like Ethan Embry, then I guess go ahead and give this a watch. I mean, I think I do that with like Steve Zahn too, you know?
Yeah. So. This was a different part for kind of Ethan Embry. He's kind of more known to play like a comedic part or like a, I don't know, like he leaned like a dad part or something. And this was kind of a different turn, and he like was totally game for it. I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah. In fact, like you were saying, I think the actors saved this movie.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, when you had what's her name, the mom Astrid, she's like screaming for her daughter as the house like was burning down. I was like, dude, she's like just commitment.
Oh, there. Something really I good. Wanted to bring up because I thought it was interesting. So, a lot of this movie seems to parallel on the idea of like having faith, right? Sort of, you know, like a lot of the devil, and a lot of people speculated that Ethan Embry, even though he got like shot like pretty close, like it's still in the chest, even though it's off like to the right or the left or whatever. And he gets back up that it was like, oh, this is Christ's resurrection. But the director quickly shot that down and said like, no, I'm just tired of like watching movies where somebody gets shot once and then they die, you know? And then he ends it with like, and come on guys, it's just a movie.
So funny.
And in my head, I was like, what movies do you watch? Cause you know, I watch fucking like Commando. And unless you're a bad guy, you stay alive forever.
Yeah. No, I gotcha. All right. So, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give this guy?
I think I'm inclined. I'm going to have to give this 3.5 spooky bones.
3.5 sexy spooky bones. I think I'll do 4. I think there's some good stuff. I'll do 4 sexy spooky bones. Cool. All right. Thank you for listening. And next week we will review 12-hour shift.
Because nobody wants to work a 12-hour.
Yeah. Having a full-time job.
Yeah. At below minimum wage.
Sorry, I cut you off.
No. Good at you. All right, guys. Cool. Stay spooky.